Sharon, is there anything you'd want to add to that about, I mean, questions about organisational structure and form?
Yeah, I think there's one other important strand in the, if you like, new organisational settlement, which is the continued and perhaps enhanced, if that's the right word, emphasis on managerialism that we had under New Right governments. But I think that there's even more managerialisation now than there was before. What I'm talking about here is the idea of importing business-like practices, practices which we normally associate with commerce and industry, into the public sector. So I'm talking about the increase, for instance, in target setting, which we're seeing everywhere now, and that operates at every level of the welfare system. For instance, in education, you have the Minister for Education having his own targets for the number of 14-year-olds who reach the so-called accepted standard in maths and English. You have local education authorities having their own targets, you have schools having their targets, teachers having their targets, and even individual five-year-old students, children having their own targets. So, that, I mean, this is one very important aspect of the organisational settlement, which I think really permeates through into everyone's experience of welfare. Another aspect of that is performance-related pay and the attempt to adopt those kinds of performance-related pay mechanisms, which we normally associate with the private sector, into the public sector. And what all of these things have is an emphasis on measuring, on outcome, rather than a concern about the processes of service delivery.
I think that's interesting, especially in the context of Book Four's exploration of managerialism. I mean, that concern with targets and performance setting and performance evaluation and review and then performance-related pay seems to me to continue under that language of the pursuit of efficiency and effectiveness in public services. And, I mean, it seems to me that one of the sort of strong threads in the New Labour language about public services is an idea about pragmatism, that actually what we're interested in is the best way to get efficient public services rather than complicated discussions about either policies or about processes. But targets are a way of apparently escaping from some of those complicated political choices. Let's turn to the settlement that we've not discussed so far, which is the social settlement. What's the New Labour view of social life? What is it that supports and is going to be supported by New Labour's social policies?
We need change. We can have the education revolution, the health revolution, the welfare revolution, but it means hard choices. And it means modernisation. And we need to bring a change too in the way that we treat each other as citizens of our society. A decent society is not actually based on rights, it's based on duty. Our duty to each other, to all, should be given opportunity from all responsibility demanded. The duty to show respect and tolerance to others. The duty to protect others. And we cannot say we want a strong, secure society when we ignore its very foundation, family life. This is not about preaching to individuals about their private lives. It is addressing a huge social problem. Attitudes have changed. The world's changed. But I'm a modern man leading a modern country, and I tell you, this is a modern crisis.
So what are we to make of New Labour's view of society? There's clearly some address to questions about change and social modernisation, but there's also some very traditional components with that emphasis on the family and discipline and duty. Ruth?
I think their position on the family kind of epitomises the tensions, really, and the white paper they brought out was very interesting. I mean, it talked about families, not the family in the title, which was good. But central to it was this tension about marriage, because they realised they were walking a very thin tightrope between traditionalism, and they wanted to say, yes, two-parent families are best, but at the same time they didn't want to be critical of lone-parent families, so they were also saying, you know, doing a very good job. And this kind of tension runs through it. But at the end of the day, although they said how important marriage was, the policies they came up with to support it were laughable, really. And they recognised change, particularly change in the position of women. This isn't about pushing women back into the home at all. In fact, it's really the opposite, because in the schema that Nancy Fraser developed, what they're pursuing is what she called the universal breadwinner model, i.e., you know, women, you can be breadwinners as well. Everyone should be a breadwinner. And that can come into tension with what Sharon was saying about, you know, the responsibilities on families to, you know, make sure that their children do well at school, meet the contracts, don't get into trouble. And of course, this takes time. So this can kind of cause, I think, problems for particularly mothers who are still expected to be doing this. And this is implicit, but that's probably what's still going to happen. The other area, I think, where there is a recognition of change, but it's not central, I think, to the third way, it's more of an add-on, is in terms of changes in the demands of, say, disabled people, older people who are demanding civil rights, not simply to be the sort of passive recipients of services, and changes in terms of a multi-ethnic, multicultural society. But it isn't central to third way thinking. It always feels a bit like it's an add-on and it's rhetorical, but there are isn't yet an enormous amount of substance behind it.
So there are sets of tensions around the social settlement, some of which are, of course, continuous from earlier periods. But that question about whether the commitment to work is also in tension with changed gender roles in the family and the other responsibilities that might be around seems to me to be, I mean, one of the sort of unresolved problems about the social settlement. But also, I think, I mean, that question about whether Britain is understood as a multi-ethnic or a multicultural society in any deep sense seems to me to be extremely important. So, Sharon, are there tensions also around the questions about Britain as a multi-ethnic or a multicultural society in New Labour's view?
It's perhaps helpful to take a concrete example of that. I want to use the example of education again, because I think these kinds of tensions are perhaps most obvious in education. But in education, particularly following the Macpherson inquiry report, which explicitly said that schools ought to attend to anti-racist education, which of course had been marginalised in recent years under New Right governments. If schools are going to take that seriously, they're going to find problems because of the other elements of third way policies, which of the competitive elements, the elements to do with league tables, the elements to do with target setting, all of which encourage schools to channel their energies into results and outcomes. Now, those kinds of policies have other kinds of effects in schools as well. They encourage schools, because they're concerned about outcomes, to set their students by ability, because that seems to be the most effective and efficient way to reach targets. Now, we all know from years of research into setting practices in schools that they discriminate against black and some groups of Asian students in particular, and also white working class students, because of the stereotyping in putting students into sets. So as a consequence of those policies, those students are likely to be disadvantaged. Yet at the same time, they're supposed to be encouraging anti-racist practices. In practice, that tension can't be sustained.
I think that's very helpful because it connects the general set of tensions about how the social is thought about in New Labour to a very specific way in which they might play out in one policy area. And I think throughout Book Four, we've seen that both the general and the particular issues about social policy have that sort of interconnection. I just want to pull this to a close with a view about Book Four ends, I think, with a view that the social settlement, this was in 1997, was unresolved. It seems to me that what we've talked about New Labour suggests that there are still aspects of unfinished tensions that run throughout its view of the relationship between welfare, the state and the people, and that we will see being played out both in the general politics of welfare and in the specific policy areas. Thank you both very much.